You're listening to Esprit Radio.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
That's right. Welcome to our neighborhood. Welcome to Black on Black Crime, our point counterpoint program where we talk issues, news. Sometimes we play a game or two, but we don't do crime. If you're not familiar with our program, Black on Black Crime is when black people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. You can join in on today's topic by calling in or sending your comments in the chat room. With that being said, on with the show.
All right, welcome again to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome. You can join in at area code 909-265-9189 if you want to join the program. Black on Black Crime is when people overtly focus, criticize, or analyze other black people in areas they won't consider anyone else. I know we started the show off with that, but I just want to make sure everybody got it. On last week's show, we had cartoonist and screenwriter Aaron Magruder versus Herman Cain, singer-producer Candy Burris versus social media, and a New York high school CNS performed The Wiz using black students in the background. They had none in a lead or support roles, but if you want to check that out on iTunes, or you can email us at bobc@soulofsyracuse.com, and we will send you a link to that program. Now, on this program, actor Terrence Howard versus media mogul Oprah Winfrey. He said some things that was kind of crazy. And we also have actress-singer Keke Palmer. Now, it's her turn against social media. We have race stories in the news, you know, stories that had race issues. We have some of those. We're going to start the show off with that. And the movie, the Jaden and Will Smith movie, After Earth, we have a movie preview, some entertainment news, and more. So I want to welcome you again. That is Black on Black Crime. Now, before we really get started, I want to, matter of fact, here's what I'll do. We will bring in Daniel out of Houston. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing all right, man. Out here trying to stop crime against our people.
We all may have to wear, like, a Wayne Brady shirt just in case we had to go around slapping somebody.
Yeah, you peep that picture I sent you about his guns going?
Wayne Brady is on, what is that, the Weightlifting Muscle magazine?
I don't know. It was a 90-day workout, man. He chiseled all cut up, man. Bill Marlon won't none of that.
Yeah, it's like Wayne Brady just got mad at him. And he's going. So we have to watch out for Bill Marlon. Let's see if he says something else about Wayne Brady. Because, you know.
Oh, for real.
Wayne may have to step outside the comfort zone.
Break him off a little black power.
Whose line is it anyway? See if he can talk after that.
Yeah. So. Who's politically incorrect now? What?
Oh, yeah, that is the big thing, the politically incorrect. Is that politically incorrect for Wayne Brady to go over and jack up Bill Maher?
No.
Well, you know.
Call for the court. He asked for it.
Hey,
you got it.
Don't call nobody out. And you won't have that problem.
Oh, none won't be none.
There you go. And we should have a new theme song for Wayne Brady. If you don't start, none won't be none. And just have Bill Maher picture up there.
No, what you do, you start off with the Brady Bunch. Dun, 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 and then you break in the hardcore gangster. A Brady in the house.
Yeah. And Wayne Brady will come out gangster. And by the way, you know, towards the end of the show, I know we have this later as we go into our entertainment news. Remember last week when we talked about the top 10 white shows that should be black? That should have been one of them.
Oh,
having
man.
A Wayne Brady spinoff. We got to talk about that. So I said, you know, this week I said, send me your white shows that should be black. And I guess next time we'll do black shows that should be white. But we're going to talk about those. We didn't use shows like Seinfeld because Bernie Mac was kind of like Seinfeld, right? Stand-up comedian talking to the camera kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Married with Children and Roseanne and My Name is Earl, this kind of trailer park-ish. So they're kind of equal to Good Times. So there was a black version of that. Carol Burnett, Richard Pryor show in Living Color, they were kind of similar. Friends, of course, is a spinoff from Living Single. That was really close. and Family Guy and the Boondocks is close, but we are talking shows that were specifically like just white shows that we wanted to put a black spin on them. Now, we know they're all going to get canceled, but that's just the point. We're going to change them up a little bit. Before we get started on the show, I want to kind of talk a little bit about something that was in the news that I think I missed, and this was this annual celebration, this benefit concert at New York's Carnegie Hall. It was a series that was kind of dedicated to the music of Prince, and it started nearly 9 years ago, the series started, and $700,000 have been raised for music education programs for underprivileged youth. This year's musical subject was honored with the appearance of, now this is for Prince, singing Prince music, D'Angelo, The Roots, Bilal, and a very pregnant Maya Rudolph and Gretchen, I want to say her name is Liburn. They perform Prince. They have a Prince cover band called Princess. So Maya Rudolph and those guys are singing. They also had Chris Rock. He did an animated reading of If I Was Your Girlfriend. He ad-libbed, of course, trying to make everybody laugh. And then Wendy from the original Prince in a Revolution, or from the Revolution, I should say. Wendy was there. She played bass on Purple Rain, and later Prince sang the backwards lyrics of Darling Nikki. So from what I understand, it was a good time. Hopefully they'll show it on TV. D'Angelo sang It's Going to Be a Beautiful Night in 1999. Now, I know Daniel's a Prince fan along with me, so we know all of those songs. And if you don't know, you might want to go check it out. That happened last week. I just missed the story. So before we jump into it, I wanted to talk about that. Now, we also... So see, I go here. And that's why I didn't start with Prince songs, because, you know, I would have been gone all day. So,
exactly.
So I didn't start with it. It was a tribute to him. And it was cool that he actually performed. And last week, I think he was on Jimmy Fallon or something, and he sang...
Yeah.
Bambi. Like, of all time, like...
And I missed it, man, so I didn't get a chance to see it.
Yeah, I had to actually go look it up on NBC's website.
But okay.
They said it was kind of... It was perfect pitch. Like, he sang it like he was 15, like, pretty young.
Grecian formula, brother. Grecian formula.
I didn't want to throw away his secret, but I'm just saying he's still... But as a performer, he is still putting it down. Like, he gave a great performance on that.
Of course,
and of course, Bambi is like a, it's a rock song. It's a guitar song, so you know he wrote on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was waiting for Kai to come in. I think Kai's here, but let's go to the commissioner first. We have the commissioner on. Hey, Commish.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I was listening to you and Daniel at the start of the show, and I was like, there's way too much testosterone over there.
Yo,
it's just going bananas.
Hello, Commish. How are you? I just want to say you should have the most soothing voice. So I love having you on.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
All right, fine. But if Daniel don't get a flag from now on, I know what's going down. All right? So don't take that and throw no flag. No. I know it was. I'm talking to our commissioner here. Like, so don't hold back on the flags.
Yeah, flattery won't dissuade her from doing her job. No, it won't.
Yeah, it will, see. Don't let the testosterone fool you. She don't have any. So she, flattery might help. Well, we'll let her answer for herself. You're going to be partial.
Huh?
I said you're going to be partial, right?
Yes, I'll be partial.
Partial or impartial?
Partial or impartial.
Oh, okay. All right.
She's deliberate, isn't she? Since Vanessa's not here, he soaks up the majority of the flags, so we don't really have to worry about that right now. That would be his thing. Now, remember last week we did the show and we talked about the Wiz performance at the suburban high school in this area, South CNS, the Wiz performance? All right, so since we had that, I figured on our break before we start the show, because our main topic today on the show is Terrence Howard's statements on media mogul Oprah Winfrey. I'm sure our commissioner is going to cut that up. And
that could be a career-limiting move.
Look, I'm telling you, I could care less, but the commissioner's going to have to throw some flags on me on this one. Terrence Howard got something coming on this one.
Yes, he does. You know what, Jerome, I have a good friend with me today, and I was trying to explain black on black crime, but you know I always get it twisted up. So if you would, my friend's name is Lawrence Mack, and he is he's here with me. So hi, Lawrence. Here's Jerome.
How you doing, Jerome?
Hey, how you doing? And this is Daniel on with us as well.
How's it going, Lawrence?
All right, I'm fine.
Black on black crime is when black people overtly focus and criticize and analyze other black people where they want someone else. Like, so we take someone like Charlie Sheen, for example. I don't know how many drugs he can do and get arrested and get let off. Paris Hilton can get arrested, have cocaine, and she'll have a TV show tomorrow. But black people won't focus on that. They'll focus on something that black people did in the 10th grade, and they'll hold that against them for the rest of their lives. So we created Black on Black Crime for the overt focus on black people when your consciousness don't allow you to do that across the board. So some people just hate on black people because we all like them. Like some people hate the president because they don't want to be seen as liking what other black people like. Technically, that's a black on black crime.
Okay, so, I got you. Yeah, haters.
Exactly. Well, we try not to call
haters
them that.
Haters don't hate.
Because we know that they're scarred. So, you know, there were people who were on the other side of the fence just because they thought, you know, y'all going to lose. So they don't want to be on the side with the black people until the black people get something. Those folks. Mm-hmm. They wait till you get something and now they're on your team. So that's what black on black crime is. It's just the overtly focusing criticism of and analyzing other black folks. In our Terrence Howard one, you're going to hear a little bit later, he said something about Oprah that he would never say about a white actress. Now, he's trying to apologize for it, but him feeling so comfortable at taking shots at her, he should have kind of protected the stature of a fellow, even if it's just a fellow actress. We're not caring about Oprah per se, but we're just saying you're doing something overtly to black people. So we're going to talk about that. But the first one, you know, we're going to talk about Keke Palmer and social media. They're criticizing her over playing Chili in TLC's movie. So that is another one. After we come back from the break, we're going to talk about. And we have stories on this show in the news that are about race. You know, there was a story about a woman who was, she was 82. She was kicked off a train for singing gospel songs. So we're going to talk about those kind of things. But in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. And this is Black on Black Crime. You listen to Esprit Radio and Ask Kathleen Network. You can call in, area code 909-265-9189 to join in on the program. If you have any questions, if you're in the chat room, feel free to join in on the chat room and ask any questions that you like, or you can send us an email at bobc@soulofsyracuse, soulofsyracuse.com if you want to join in. So before we take a break, I just want to say, my girl Daisy was on the show last week when we talked about black students participating in school plays. Now, this is Daisy's daughter. She's going to be shocked. But it's my girl Jada. She's in high school. Her band played a remake of Michael Jackson's song. They rearranged it, and these are high school students playing live. So we'll be back right after this break.
Barack Obama has signed into law the reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act, The president also granted pardons to 17 people for minor offenses and nonviolent crimes. This nearly doubles the pardons he has granted since taking office 4 years ago. The U.S. trade deficit widened in January, reflecting a big jump in oil imports and a drop in exports. The Commerce Department said the deficit rose 16.5% from December, and economists see the trade picture brightening for the future in 2013. A part-time airport cashier at Atlanta's Hartsfield Jackson International Airport turned in $7,000 in cash she found in an envelope on the curb where shuttles unload passengers. Rather than keeping the money for herself, she turned it in and handed it over to Atlanta police. She said, "I could have kept the money, but I didn't do that. I'm an honest citizen, I'm a taxpayer, and I believe in doing the right thing." The Oprah Winfrey Network announced its new Saturday night programming lineup, which includes the return of the original series, Ayanna Fix My Life, and two new series, Life with Latoya, starring Latoya Jackson, and Raising Wheatley, starring actress and comedian Kim Wheatley. There you have it. I'm Jerome Esprit for EspritNet News.
Welcome back to Black on Black Crime on Esprit Radio. You're tuning in. You can join us. If you're tuning in, you can join us at 909-265-9189. That's 909-265-9189. Now, Daniel, they're acting like there are some black high school students who cannot sing The Wiz. That was my girl, Jada. And by the way, if you want to check it out, go on YouTube, check out Jada Rocks. She is bomb, so I only played a little bit of it, but the little girl can sing.
Which well, it depends on if the suburban brothers are not able to bring forth a soul. And perhaps we may as well get one of our own. Who knows?
Well, you know, like I said, you're talking about now, and that's an area I'm well familiar with. I know some folks who graduated and went to that school. I think they were just kind of boxing some folks out. They wanted to perform The Wiz, but they intentionally did not want the minority students in lead or in the secondary roles. It's just kind of
well, what's the point? What's the point? Just do The Wizard of Oz instead of The Wiz.
Well, since this is not technically a black-on-black crime, I don't see the point. I don't think I would go see The Wiz with someone trying to sing, like, No Bad News or any of those songs told that the...
You can't win.
Exactly.
You can't
sing that
even. Because you can't get out of the game.
You can't sing that Michael
People
Jackson song
saying,
like that.
Things are going to change, but they look just like they're staying the same.
Nipsey Russell had Blast Some Oil on Me, like that, all that.
Yeah, right.
So anyway,
they don't feel it.
I guess their point was that they like the songs and they want to sing them. They just didn't want anybody upstaging them, apparently.
Black students in the background. That's the slap in the face. Like, for real?
Yes. Yes. And
next they'll want to have an all-black cast for Porgy and Bess. I mean, all-white cast, Porgy and Bess.
The song that we went out for the Jada Rock on YouTube, Jada Rocks on YouTube, Jada, her mother, we all went to school together, and she's from this area. So I just want to tell you that there are some really, really talented people in this area anyway. So it's not that there's probably not any talented people at that school. I think those teachers forcefully said, no, we want Becky to play Dorothy. I'm sorry, that's not a black on black crime. If you're upset, please write black on black crime. That's BOBC@solarsyracuse.com, and I will delete your message over there. All right, if you're really upset about it. So I want to say our first story I want to kick into is race stories in the news. We do news stories sometimes, but you know, for a first segment, I thought we should tackle this. Now, a black senior was kicked off a train, Emma Anderson, who she was singing and using a piece of paper as a drum is what they said. This is silly. The security guard asked her to stop because apparently singing on the train is not allowed. When Miss Anderson continued to sing her gospel song, the guard snatched her bag and then kicked her off the train. Now, the guard was seen on surveillance grabbing this elderly woman and violently pulling her off the train. So the 82-year-old woman fell and suffered a bruised shoulder. They didn't
even see her with parts like that, man. So
was that George Zimmerman's cousin?
It was in Miami-Dade County. Miami-Dade Transit Authority initially released a statement saying, "We regret that Mrs. Anderson had to be escorted out." But
regardless,
yeah, they didn't think anybody saw the video. But regardless of age, all passengers need to be able to abide by rules associated with using the transit.
God.
Did they really say that about an 82-year-old woman?
She probably didn't even hear him telling her to stop.
It doesn't even matter.
Oh, you wrong. What? Now, that's a black-on-black crime.
That is a black-on-black crime,
Kathleen. That's an old-on-old crime. That's an old-on-old crime.
Okay.
What'd you say?
She assumed that she couldn't hear. Why would you do that? I guess that was an elderly crime more than it was a black-on-black crime.
That was an
elderly crime. Savior.
Okay.
Your mama cry.
You see? I didn't know you had on the show. All right. So, now... Although in the statement it says that rules prohibit anyone from singing, dancing, or playing a musical instrument unless they have a commercial permit. So the mayor issued an apology last week to Mrs. Anderson. I think she should sue him. He shouldn't have grabbed her anyway. You know, don't grab nobody.
Well, you know, the good book says to praise him in all that you do. And if she's going to be persecuted for praising the Lord, then that's her reward. Hang on, Grandma.
Right. She can do that, and I always say this to women, you know, this is not me being chauvinist. Well, I shouldn't even qualify it. I don't care. This is it. On her behalf, somebody needs to take care of this, right? You need to vote your mayor out of office, get the transit guy fired. You should not snatch someone off of a train and then throw them down and cause a bruise. That's an assault. You can't do that.
That's an assault.
Right. You're not a police officer. You're pretty much a security guard and a rental cop at that point. Somebody needs to be
George
held responsible.
Zimmerman.
Well, he wasn't even a rental cop. He was Jim Carrey in The Living Color when he did the Cherbs of Justice. He was a guy running around with a yellow beret. All right, I'm sorry. All right. Now, Essence Magazine, their chief was pushed out last week. Constance White has disclosed that her departure as editor-in-chief of Essence Magazine was involuntary and a result of a repeated class with Martha Nelson, the editor-in-chief of Time Magazine, who White said sought to limit the way black women were portrayed. She said what needs to happen, this is what Constance White said, and Martha Nelson is white for Time Magazine, so she thought there was too much positive stuff in Essence Magazine for black women. She wanted a little bit more scandalous, I reckon. But anyway, so Martha White said, what needs to happen is the reader is getting lost, and the reader has to be the center. To make their world smaller is unacceptable, is what she said, and she was released by the magazine. Now, Essence, the nation's leading magazine for black women, was originally owned, but has not done well under Time Magazine ownership. And it was also started by Gordon Parks, by the way. He was one of the co-founders of Essence Magazine. So Nelson vetoed such pieces that looked at African-American art and culture. The
are you trying to whitewash the magazine?
Yeah. The black editor said, I was not able to make creative hires that needed to be made. And when was the last time you saw Essence in the community advocating for or talking with black women? Essence doesn't do that anymore. So they bought it, and they tried to sell it back to black people, and it's just not selling well.
I tell you, if there's no Essence Music Festival this year, there'll be an uproar.
No, if Time Magazine tries to take over the Essence Music Festival, because Essence Magazine would have Justin Timberlake and Beaver open. I'm sorry, that would be Selena Gomez.
Well, they do have a bit of a black following, so.
Well,
it wouldn't be too far off base, but
well,
you bring in John Mayer, I think you lose some votes.
I think they can always go a little bit too far on that. Now, here is a story that I know I've criticized Bill Cosby on this program many a days, and low-key on occasion, and finesse. We have all kind of disagreed with Bill Cosby at different times, but Bill Cosby last week said Republicans are like segregationists. On Starting Point on CNN, comedian actor Bill Cosby pointed out that racism today is not different than racism in the 60s. So Soledad O'Brien recounted how things may have appeared post-racial to Cosby back then, given his achievements. She said, "I read about you at the same time the fight for rights in the South was going on." She said to Cosby, "You were on the verge of winning an Emmy Award, the first black man in 1966. You would win an Emmy, and the show I Spy was banned in the South." Now, one panelist, and I don't remember the guy's name, said that that's just hard to believe. Cosby quickly responded and said, "I don't think so." He said, "Now when you look at President Obama's recent speech," he was referring to the State of the Union, he said, "to see people sitting down where others are cheering, I think we have people sitting there who are as bad as the people who are against any kind of desegregation. And then in place of a better America, they want, at their own sick feelings, they want to put it across, it isn't a good time." That's what they want to say. He said, but he thinks on our part, as professors and presidents of colleges and all over in the public schools, we need to get education to correct history so that people can say, yes, this really did happen. Bill Cosby is saying it is the institutions that need to change and start telling the truth and stop relying on people to tell them the truth. Because I think that's a good start.
Hit the point one more time, because when it comes to Bill Cosby, I'm upset with black America for not being able to take their medicine from somebody who is a part of our community. They wouldn't take it if a white man said certain things about, you know, our youth and our children, this, that, and the other.
Now, Bill Cosby has been on Black Crime before, Dr. Cornel West, and some of the statements that he made. Now, my criticism of Bill Cosby was this. When you take major media and you criticize poor black people, that is problematic because poor black people aren't watching major media. You are just telling those bougie black folks or white folks who are removed from black folks what is ailing in the black community. Whereas white people don't talk about white folks in trailer parks and incest and all of those things that happen in the rural areas in this country. They don't talk about that stuff. But we get so mad at our dysfunction as far as black people are concerned that we highlight it like that's a norm amongst all of us. And so that's where my criticism had been on Bill Cosby. But now what Bill Cosby just said was, because, you know, he has the ability to do this, he's saying academia need to respect history so that people aren't confused at what real history is anymore. So that's where Bill Cosby is coming from now. He's saying whether you're a professor at a college or a college president or in public schools, we need to get education correct and correct history so that people can actually relate to it. So we're getting kids who are dropping out of school because they can't relate to anything that they're being taught. When you know with internet and all this other stuff that people are lying to you, how can you learn that stuff? It's hard to retain it. So I think Bill Cosby is kind of making that point.
No, no, you're the strategist, so you understand on a higher level about the whole media and who listens and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel like somebody needs to speak to that, and maybe not in that form.
Right.
But somehow or another, we need to realize that it's not just the kind of things. It's not if your child is coming home with an empty book bag and not getting his lesson, yet you want to blame the system for why your child is not being successful. And, you know, I don't know what the curriculum is in different schools, so
right.
I don't know how much it's changed over the years. I don't know. Somebody needs to speak to it.
Right. And I
know there's a lot. Oh, yes.
I agree.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of grassroots efforts here in Houston to actually go door to door and get kids back into school. And I applaud all those efforts
mm-hmm.
because it's got to be somebody to go knock on that door.
Right.
And if the parent is having a problem with, you know, I'm working three jobs, I'm hoping that he's going to school or she's going to school, and if they're not, then, you know, what can I do? Wait for the police to arrest them for truancy and then force them back into school? Is that truly going to solve the problem? Somebody's got to tug at the heartstrings and the mind strings of these children to say that in order for you to reach the goals that you have for yourself, or if you don't have any goals, let's help you develop some to give you a reason why you want to be in school. And I think too often with the large class sizes, they don't talk about that. They're just trying to get through the lesson
teachers are trying to get to the lesson plan for their 38 to 45 kids in one class. They don't have time to focus on the individuals.
Well, and you're right. And so we're talking about different angles of success, right, and trying to get the kids motivated opposed to what we need to do on the academic side. Now, I have a friend right now who went to college together. We played college basketball together. We're really close. He's a principal at a school in Rochester, New York. And he is having problems because they're trying to fire him based upon his relationship with the kids when they don't have any black male teachers at the high school that he's in. Now, he's a principal, and he's having problems with the school district where, well, he's one of the vice principals, and the principal wants to fire him based on his relationship with the kids. Now, he went to that high school, so, of course, he's going to have more interest in their success. But more, the fight right now is saying, how do we get more minority teachers and more people engaged when they're fighting racist things just to stay employed? So I guess when Bill Cosby is speaking on this level, I'm saying there's different levels of this fight. We need to kind of look at them from all angles. So for right now in Bill Cosby's statement, he's talking about the upper level issue of why we have problems. We have some internet comments about this, by the way. This is Cosby's response saying Republicans are like segregationists. Now, one of the internet comments says that all Americans should learn in their schools about slavery and the effect in America. They should all be able to read some of the real books on and slavery suffered in Africa. That's one comment. Another comment says, it's about time Bill stood up and told the truth. It says, why he waited so long baffles me, but at least he did it. Racism is truly alive. The dark and brown skin is not respected by any other race as equal. And as far as history, that is mandatory in schools and colleges is not always the truth. And what was done to blacks will never be printed or accepted unless we do it ourselves and demand that it's taught to us in our schools. And another one just said, I applaud Bill Cosby and other non-racists who speak the truth about racism. I don't know what that means. I think that person is white. It says, if you're tired of the so-called race card, kick it in the teeth when you hear Republican voters is what they said. But I don't know. I think that's an oversimplification to say that.
Schools have a curriculum that they agree upon from the administrative level, and they're not looking at trying to reach African Americans and ensure that they understand their plight in this on this earth and in the community and what's happened to black people. They would like to brush that under the rug if at all possible. So they're not going to accentuate that information. We have to make it a point as parents, I'm not a parent, but as parent, aunt, uncle, to sit down and have that conversation with your children and help them to want to know about this kind of stuff. Because it's unfortunate. I remember seeing something on Facebook. Some girl had posted something about Dr. Martin Luther King and how things were back in the slave days.
All right. Hey, throw a flag on him, Kathleen.
No, what I'm saying is that they don't understand or they don't know they haven't been taught of what's going on in our schools. I'm not bashing anyone. It's just that it's not a part of the curriculum. I remember American history back in the 70s when I was in school, and you got a taste of what happened in slavery, but you never thoroughly understood the big picture and how it all came to pass.
Oh, right. And that's why
we're a bunch of folks picking cotton and there was cruelty and slavery, this, that, and the other.
Or they act as if we were happy in slavery. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Well, we'll just take a little cotton, come in, hang with our families. And
what we learned in school about slavery was negligible. I can't even remember. I think we learned about Harriet Tubman and she ran an Underground Railroad. That was it.
Okay, wait.
I love me some Nat Turner, though.
Wait, I don't mean to joke about this because I really don't joke on black crime about this stuff. But here's when I learned about slavery, when Roots came out. I don't think we learned that in school. I don't think we talked about it.
Definitely talked about it. We definitely talked about it, learned about it, tested on it. You know, understood the Emancipation Proclamation.
Well, we did that.
Talking about Reconstruction and then Jim Crow and all that kind of stuff. Dred Scott decision. But I will speak to this, Jerome, that we have several educators here in Houston who also serve on city council that are working with the governor here in Texas, our governor, who
very difficult to deal with, Rick Perry.
Right.
We're trying to work from that vantage point and trying to get more monies, not only for poorer schools, but also schools in our neighborhoods, and
uh-huh.
ensure that they're getting a quality education and quality curriculum. But
right.
it's always an uphill fight because Texas is a red state. So it's always going to be difficult for us to get things done for our people. But we do have people here in place that are working hard, rubbing elbows.
Yeah.
A friend of mine actually does pro bono work, going up to see the governor, not being paid, but working on behalf of students. So you got a lot of love for students, got a lot of love for kids.
No doubt.
It's just that you got to have those kind of people in place that aren't just talking about it, but they're being about it.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. And I always make mention of that when people say that we're not achieving and we're not doing things. Like, we know better than that. Like, there's always been this fake study that more black males are in prison than in college, and we know that's not true. But it's been repeated so much that people start buying into that nonsense. And so we kind of have to, when we have the opportunity, to make sure that we call it out when we see it. And so this is a part of what we do on the program. And that's pretty much why I don't joke about serious things and don't let anyone else call in and joke about them, because we don't need to be petty, right? Some people are listening to the show at work, and I try not to really make the show something that we're clowning about something that is very serious. You should be listening to this stuff because we are trying to shed light on some things that's going on in the world. So this is Black on Black Crime. You can call in 909-265-9189. I will check I've been neglecting the chat room. If you're in the chat room, you can always send us your questions or your comments, and we probably will get to them at some point.
I want to say something real quick about thank you for bringing to light a lot of the misinformation that we perpetuate by repeating what we hear to all our friends and family, and it becomes this urban legend, not an urban legend, but it becomes fact because
right.
we've heard it and we've listened to it and we repeat it. So a lot of times, check that information. If somebody tells you something or you've been believing something for years, look at alternate news sources, Google it to find out, is this true? There's a website called Snopes.com.
Right.
I would check that out. And whenever you hear something off base about our community, look into it. You know, it's not as bad as they make it seem. And
right.
then we all carry ourselves like we're so downtrodden. And there's so many black millionaires, there's so many prosperous black people in the United States. But if you ask the average brother or sister, oh, woe is me.
I actually read Black Enterprise in high school because I needed to see that. Like, you needed to see people achieving some things that you didn't know that they were achieving. So that is one of the things that I always have to kind of let people know. Hey, we achieved some great things. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? We can do it. So I want to thank you for that. Thank you for that comment. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Black on Black Crime, and I'm your host, Jerome. We're on with Daniel. Our commissioner has stepped away for a minute. You know, she's a little busy. She'll be back in a second. We're going to talk about actor Terrence Howard versus media mogul Oprah Winfrey. Yeah, he said something that was pretty unprofessional, so we're going to address that in a minute. You listen to Black on Black Crime. We'll be back after this.
We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We got the spirit. We're hot. We can't be stopped. We're going to beat them and bust them.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
Let's get a little bit rowdy. R-O-W-D-Y.
Take time to be a dad today. Call or visit fatherhood.gov to learn more.
How many more? How many more street corners? How many more schools?
How many more movie theaters?
How many more halftime moments of silence?
Enough.
For the children of Sandy Hook Elementary.
Demand a plan.
You can't win without a plan.
I chose the game.
I played the game.
This right here?
Oh, baby, this is not a game.
It's time.
It's time for our leaders to do something.
Demand a plan right now.
Right now.
Now.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Two!
Two!
Two.
You sure?
I am absolutely confident.
Two times is awesome. The thing I can do is wave my head
That's amazing. I've never seen anything like that.
Look, I can do
Hold on, I'm watching this.
It's not complicated. Doing two things at once is better. And only AT&T's network lets you talk and surf on your iPhone 5.
This is a story about BK from BK. Bernard King from Brooklyn, New York. It's 1984. The garden is packed, and I'm sitting in the last row. I mean, I could touch the roof. And Bernard King, he was giving this the business. 10, 20, 40 points. Second half, 50, 60 points. He was stopping and popping, posted and toasted. All hail the king. And you know what? You never know who's going to wear the crown next.
Dad, where do babies come from?
Well, there's a planet. It's called Babylandia. That's right, it's filled with babies. Uh-huh. Babies of all kinds. And when the time is just right, there's a space launch.
All systems go.
And that, son, is where babies come from.
But Jake said babies are made when mommies and daddies...
You go, play with us on the bus.
Wheels on the bus go round and round,
round and round. Wheels on the bus go round and round. Welcome back to Black on Black Crime. I'm your host, Jerome, more with Daniel. What's going on,
What's
Daniel?
What's up?
All right.
I'm up.
Now, you can call in area code 909-265-9189 if you want to join the program. We are talking about, right now, actor Terrence Howard versus media mogul Oprah Winfrey. Now, the actor made some unprofessional remarks about Oprah in an interview. Now, he's in that new movie, Dead Man Down, that just came out. Didn't do well, by the way, this past weekend. But the former Oscar nominee, Terrence Howard, used a crude choice of words while describing his experience of shooting a love scene with Oprah for the upcoming Lee Daniels film, The Butler.
Oh, no.
He said, to be able to make out with Oprah, to have love scenes with her with those tig old biddies is what he said as he giggled during a promotional interview for his new film, Dead Man Down. He said, I mean, she's just lovely, a voluptuous woman. So being able to, well, she's very, very beautiful and was wonderful. Now, I don't know where to go.
Thought he was talking with his boy somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with that. I know, I'm sure our commissioner is going to yell first. So we'll give her first up on this. I don't know if she heard it. But,
I heard it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. See, she didn't come in happy, Daniel. I can tell.
I heard it.
Man, it's crass and disrespectful.
Right.
It's crass, it's disrespectful, it's low down, it's dirty, it's ghetto, it's gutter. It's what other black-on-black crime can I commit as I describe what it was? It was awful. It was immature as well, and that's the... You know, the biggest complaint I have about him is because he doesn't have to be that. You know, it reminds me of a lot of the characters that he's played in many of his movies, and it makes you wonder, like, is that a character that he's, you know, is he really a great actor, or is he just playing himself in a lot of those movies that he's, I don't know.
Remember now, Terrence Howard is the person that said that he had a problem with dark complexion black women at some point. So we're not going to even, I'm sure somebody's probably going to recall that. I just didn't take the quote from him because people were mad at him for so long. You would think.
Which Oprah is.
Right. And so his disrespect of her, again, if it was Sigourney Weaver or whomever, he would never have talked about a part of their body. As much as Halle Berry has been a sex symbol in the black community, I don't think that anybody has ever talked about a part of her body. Like they just said, you know, I get to kiss Halle Berry in this love scene. I need to put, they would fake spray stuff in their mouth and they'd do all sorts of things. But I don't think people pointed out parts of her body like that. You know what I mean? They said she had a nice body, but I don't think they got crass. like that. Yeah.
Never. And
when a person makes a comment, I'm sorry, go ahead, Kathy.
Not only that, but the way he described it, right?
Right.
Tig old biddies. You know, he put the old in there. It was something that made her sound like a mammy. And that's the most despicable part of that. And he doesn't seem to get it. He just
right.
doesn't seem to get it. I think everyone else, when they hear it, you know, when you hear things, a lot flashes through your mind at the time that you hear it before you're able to even articulate how it makes you feel. But one of the things that flashes through your mind when somebody says something like "tig old biddies" is, you know, you're talking about an old mammy like Aunt Jemima type like black woman. So now he's trying to clean it up and call it voluptuous. It doesn't clean it up.
Subliminally, when people make comments like that, it speaks to how they truly feel. And he
right.
may have a problem
exactly.
with full-figured women. He may have a problem with dark-skinned women. So in speaking his truth, that's how he feels. Now to try to clean it up, what he should
right.
just do is apologize. Don't clean it up.
Period, end of story. And then there's another thing I think that needs to happen with that. And you know what, I don't want to really go that far into this, but when you bring up subliminal, it also makes me wonder if this is not something that he is, you know, has a secret love-hate relationship with. Is he secretly attracted to it, you know, and then hates it at the same time because of whatever, I don't want to psychoanalyze the guy, but, you know, whatever kind of self-hatred he might have.
I'm sure he thought it was a compliment saying that he loved the love scenes that he had with her. Now, Oprah actually tweeted out a picture that was initially released on her Twitter saying, and the caption just said, "That's a wrap, Terrence Howard and me said our goodbye love scene," and she said, "Thanks, Lee Daniels, for the great experience at the Butler." And that's what she tweeted. But I'm sure Oprah is not, she's not feeling no love now. I'm sure Howard is getting
You think he meant that as a compliment? Really?
Yeah, he did. Because what he said was
I don't think so.
Well, I think he was making fun. Like he said, I don't know, he was being childish. Like he's been in high school. And I know I've said this before without getting kicked out of the club. Boys, little boys, when they're together, they are horrible. Guys say some really nasty stuff. Women should never really hang around. That's what my issue is with equality, is you don't want to be in a male locker room. Like, seriously. Because you're not going to stop them from being how they are. But even if he said that behind the scenes with his boys, that's disrespectful for him to say that in a national interview. You just don't say that.
I wonder what his blood alcohol level was during the interview.
Well, he had to be drunk.
His inhibitions were absent.
let me just also say this, then, okay? I am sure that you could get someone, you know, if you say boys will be boys, right?
I don't mean it that way.
Well, let me just finish. Let me just finish, because maybe when I finish, it might explain it a little bit. But in the locker room, men will say some things that, you know, they themselves, if they have a level of maturity about them, will understand clearly that that is not something to say in a national interview.
Right.
I think that once they take it, once they go as far as to feel like it's appropriate to say "tig old biddies" in a national interview, they have classified themselves in such a way that we can call them whatever we want. And to me, I think that he should be aware that that's not a compliment. If he says it in the locker room, okay, you might let him slide with it. But once you take that outside the locker room, you know it's not a compliment. Or if you don't, then you need to get hit upside the head with whatever somebody hits you upside the head with.
Yeah. Well, all I was saying about it being a locker room thing or how males are, it's the same exact reason why males never, even their own sisters, they won't tell them that their boyfriends are jerks, because guys do that. Like, you don't know if they're putting on show for other guys to show, like, I don't really care about her. You don't know. And so that's childish, and we don't really pay any attention. But I was just making the point that even if he said that around his boys, that was just inappropriate to say out in public. So I think you're saying that it's a black-on-black crime, right?
Oh,
it was easily a black.
Yes.
It's worse than that, huh? All right.
It's worse than that.
Okay, and Daniel?
And above that, she's his senior, his elder.
He should
deserve more
generally.
Respect. Well, I'm just saying in general, but for sure, that you wouldn't say that to your mother or your grandmother.
Exactly.
So why would you say that to her? And just from her body of work, she deserves more respect in general. Again, I know that's not. I'm not saying that she's any better, any different than anyone else. But look at her body of work, and you're gonna reduce her to saying tick old bitties?
Yeah, and definitely she is
Come
not
on,
his
man.
Peer. She's to your point. She is not his peer at all.
Not
well, that's
at
what
all.
I said.
Not
I mean,
no,
yeah,
no,
I mean, they don't roll together. They don't hang out. They don't kick it. He's in a different existence, a different space.
Right.
I mean, they may cross places, cross paths, but it's kind of a difficult thing to describe.
Okay.
But you know there are certain people that travel in certain circles and people that travel in others. They're not concentric circles. They're not connecting circles.
So you would say that this was a black-on-black crime in the worst way?
Oh, most definitely.
Okay, so I think we're all in agreement on this.
He needed to be hit upside the head with the back end of a knife.
You know, Denzel should roll up on him
knife.
And go, excuse me, young fella. I'm not putting Denzel in. I'm just saying, like somebody, James Earl Jones or somebody, hey, let me holler at you.
Somebody needs to call him.
Card.
Yes.
Somebody needs to call him for sure.
Now let me make this a little worse because I don't know if you know what The Butler is. It's a biopic about the legendary Eugene Allen, who served 8 different U.S. presidents from the 1950s through the 1980s. That's 1952 through 1986. He was the butler. The all-star cast of this movie is Robin Williams, Cuba Gooding Jr., Lenny Kravitz, Matthew McConaughey, John Cusack, Jane Fonda, Forrest Whitaker, and Oprah is in the lead role.
Can I stop you for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
If the love scene had been between Robin Williams and Oprah, and he said that, would we
Robin
be having
Williams
this conversation?
Up. Nope. We wouldn't have had this conversation because I'd be beating Robin Williams down. But Robin Williams, I have to say, Robin Williams was discovered from the Richard Pryor show. So he goes way back, and I think that he would even know better than saying that. You know what I mean? Like, there are people, Sandra Bernhardt, Robin Williams, to know all the people who started on the Richard Pryor show is trivia, but it is amazing, the people who got their start through him. Harvey, what is his name, who's on Carol Burnett?
Corman.
Yeah, he was actually on Richard Pryor show. Yeah, and so you would think that if Matthew McConaughey said that, who Oprah loves, I would still beat him down. I'm just saying, like, that was just disrespectful.
Grossly.
Now, the movie is going to be in theaters later this year. Nielsen, I think it's Nielsen Ellis, who was in the HBO original series True Blood, will play the role of Martin Luther King in the movie. Now, Dr. King's first visit to the White House was in 1958 when he met Dwight President Eisenhower and other civil rights leaders. So King had encounters with JFK, Lyndon Johnson, and he worked closely with Johnson, met with him in 64, 65, and 68. I don't know how the interaction in the movie is going to go so far, but that Terrence Howard thing kind of just threw a good movie under the bus. We're not saying don't watch the movie. It looks like it's going to be good with an all-star cast. We're just talking about Terrence Howard and his should I call him a name today? I was about to call him a name. Lucky Kyle.
Well, I'm sure he'll get a call from the executive producer of the show and a few other folks.
Here's some internet comments. One says, "This is overkill. I see nothing wrong with what he said. When Oprah sees this, it'll probably make her feel sexy." I don't think so.
Oh, really?
He said, "Too much put into this story." And the person said, "I'm sure Pam Grier and other sexy women haven't felt disrespectful when they was thought of spoken of in that regard." Okay, fool, whoever that comment came from, because I'm not going to say your name, you have lost your mind. You know, I'll let Daniel handle that.
Well, you're talking blaxploitation films back in the 70s.
Exactly.
When political correctness hadn't arrived yet. So
well, and
she was a sex symbol, and that's what she exuded.
And she showed her breast.
Oh, she did. Yes, sir. I finally bought coffee. I've never seen it before.
I'm just saying. So you just unrobed somebody else, thinking that since Pam Grier already did that, that's cool? Anyway, we have another internet comment that said, he has an issue with dark-skinned women. See, I knew that was from someplace. He had an issue with dark-skinned women anyway, so it doesn't surprise me at all. Another said, after he realized what he said, then he came back and complimented her. I believe you mean what you say, and once it's aired out, just let it stay out there, is what this person said. And another one said, it's called disrespect. I think if he was white, would you have accepted the statement? Kind of like what you said. If it came from another actor, would we have accepted the statement so easily? And the last comment just says, maybe he thinks he was being funny. It was not. I've lost some respect for him and love for him, is what the last comment said. Kathleen, you want to say?
Lawrence has a different opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, speak on it, brother. Sometimes I think we get too hard on each other as black people in general because there's so many dynamics going on that I was raised from when I was a little kid. I'm 56 years old. When we went to a baseball game, I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I had to wear a little suit and a sport jacket and a tie just to go to a baseball game because I was taught that wherever I went, I had to represent a whole race. So I had that instilled for me when I was coming up little by my parents and grandparents. But sometimes nowadays we get too hard on each other where we can't even be ourselves. I can understand because there's such a high-profile person saying it is one thing. But the statement that instead of saying big old whatever he was going to say, he said it in another way, I can't find anything derogatory in it. I don't think it was extremely humorous. But it was just a person making a statement. She could have been white. She could have been black. She could have been Indian. It didn't matter. He was talking about a female body part.
Right. And so the point is nobody and no one has ever, and they probably would have beeped it out or cut it out of the interview so that we didn't know, but you have never heard anybody talk about somebody's chest like that in the news and doing an interview for a promo for a movie. And that's where it becomes disrespectful because that's where your media is more prominent. Now, I still would have thought he was wrong if he would have done it on Twitter or one of the social medias, but at least that would have been picked up off the record and he could have said, oh, my bad, I was, just joking around. But this, he was making a statement about looking at her in a certain manner, so it was a little bit different as far as I'm concerned when he does that. Now, I'm not judgmental, but this is a series of things that Terrence Howard has done generally, saying he has a problem with dark-skinned black women and all these other things that he said in the past. And I think he said that when he married his wife is Asian, but when he married her, he said some derogatory things about black women. And now he says that about a black woman where he could have said that about white women, right? Terrence Howard personally said that about her. So this is why, in my opinion, that's a black-on-black crime, because not that we're judging him and all of his work based upon that. I mean, they have the Best Man 2 coming out, and he's still trying to clean it up. He's released at least 4 statements since he made that statement. But the fact is, whether he was drinking or not, you cannot go out disrespecting your people. He's way too old. I mean, he's 43. He's way too old to not have respect.
And we have to learn to accept what people are. If that's the way Terrence is, and he don't like dark skinned women, he got all the right in the world to say he don't.
Oh, no doubt, no doubt. We don't say that.
We can't be judgmental. I don't see how it's a black on black crime.
Well, again,
so one thing I think that we miss out on too, and when I go all the way back to just the basics of it, if we're really truly going to be the kind of people who lead this world into the next better part of whatever our life experiences be, we got to stop the black, white, Chinese, Indian, Asian. We're all human beings. And they have different personalities, different cultures. And until we stop judging each other as black people, I don't care if somebody uses the N-word, because that happens a lot. You got to learn to deal with it. We spend so much time talking about problems, I haven't heard nobody come up with a solution yet.
Oh, well, we don't have any solutions on this program. We didn't say what he should say. We don't care what he should say. We're just saying that he should be respectful, but we don't care one way or another. Nobody's dogging him out. Nobody said go hurt Terrence Howard. They just said we're saying as we do as a community, and we talked about this on Kathleen's show, I think, a little bit yesterday, whereas as a community, we kind of always put each other back in line, right? My mother had a birthday this weekend, and my mother and father and brother, all of us are out at a restaurant. Now, it's a restaurant full of weird, not too many people of color, but one little black kid was running around, and my mother looked at him and said, somebody need to get him, and I laughed because we look out. She was looking out for him, right? It is just kind of how we are culturally, and nothing's wrong with us looking out for each other culturally and speaking up when one of us gets out of line. It's just not, we're not supposed to turn our back just because we want to be integrated like everyone else. Because if we culturally start looking at ourselves like other cultures do, now we're still minorities, so we're still isolated. If we keep looking at ourselves like everything is fair now, we would never get anything. Now, I don't know if you know, I'm a political strategist, so I'm going to tell you this. If black people did not complain, politicians wouldn't give black people jack. I've heard this when people say we should have curfews, we should do this. But what white folks are saying, that if you keep your neighborhood quiet and don't do anything, we'll be better off. But what they're not telling you is that we wouldn't even have a black councilman because you wouldn't get no representation. That is pretty much how they are as a culture.
Well, and Lawrence, thanks for your comment, man. The deal about what we say about we're all the same skin, it's just a color. Unfortunately, that's just not the truth when it comes to people's behaviors and how they
right.
treat one another. I mean, it would be nice if everybody would say, hey, let's just all get along and we're going to agree to be, you know, treat one another as equals, but that's just not. You've got biases, you've got prejudices. That's just the reality that we have, so we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like Jerome said, if we don't talk about what black people don't have or what we don't have in our communities, they're not going to drive through Third Ward Houston and say, hey, this road is falling apart.
And you know what they're going to say? Y'all didn't say anything. That is pretty much kind of how that is on the political side, is that people disrespect you for not speaking up. The only reason that people are reach out to black community generally during political season is because they don't want you to vote against them. Now, technically, none of them care if you vote. I can tell you that, Democrat or Republican. They don't really care if you vote. They just don't want you voting against them. So if you can neutralize that, that is kind of the way to go. But we need to participate in the process a little bit more to neutralize that. People are only even if you come to the table with the same amount of weight. I did one race, and this person was the president of the legislative body in a city. And the person said to me, you know, I'm a Democrat. We need to work together. And I said to the person, listen, you need to understand this one thing. If someone white was here, they give white folks the advantage. And then black people here and they're even. And then the next white person come in and they give them the advantage. And then we stay even. We're still 20 points behind them because every time black people get in office, we believe that we need to be fair. They don't. And so when they start getting 25,000 miles ahead of us, we say, now we need to even everything out. But they already have a jump. So what I said was, do you know why having a black mayor or a black president, you know why that does not stick? It's because the legislators would not put into law things that help black people. We still vote on the Voting Rights Act or Voting Rights Amendment. We renew that thing every couple years. It's because no president has successfully been able to make that law the land. So we have to stay on guard to say we still have to push forward. Spiritually, everyone is equal. And so you have to be kind and work through your humanity. But politically, it does not work that way because we are so kind of isolated as a community. We're still minorities in the piece, and so that's how we're treated. But anyway, I digress. Now, you're listening to Black on Black Crime, and I didn't want to just run off of that subject, but we do have another subject. And before we get into that, I want to remind you, you can call in 909-265-9189 if you want to join in on the program. We also have on this program social media, another social media issue. Last time we had, who was it last week? I can't even remember. Daniel, who was it? Can you remember?
What's better, bigger or smaller?
Bigger!
So which would you rather have, a big treehouse or a small treehouse?
A if it's big enough, you can have a disco.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you not want a smaller treehouse?
Because it wouldn't be able to fit a flat-screen TV, and then the TV would be about this big, and you would have to hold the wire. And the position you would hold the wire, you wouldn't be able to see the TV.
That's a pain in the buns.
Yeah.
It's not complicated. Bigger is better. And AT&T has the nation's largest 4G network.
Introducing the all-new 2013 Nissan Pathfinder.
Hi.
It seats 7.
Hi.
Or 2. And with a 13-speaker Bose sound system and newly redesigned exterior, you'll go everywhere in style.
Hi.
And Pathfinder's tri-zone entertainment system.
My movie just ended.
Ours too.
Keeps everyone entertained. The all-new Nissan Pathfinder. It's our most innovative Pathfinder ever.
Now, I'm not sure if you remember what happened with Tiki Harmer. First it was Zoe Saldana, and now Tiki. Now, last week, Zoe Saldana defended herself about playing Nina Simone. We had that on Black Crime because people were criticizing that before. And now Kiki Palmer is still defending herself because of her accepting the role of Chili Thomas or Rosanda, I think is her name, which
Rosanda,
is now
yeah
it's now on production. Yep, it's now on production on VH1. It's a movie about TLC, their singing group TLC.
So she's still defending herself. I didn't even know that there was a big deal about her playing that role. Zoe Saldana, yeah.
Yes.
But I didn't know Kiki Palmer.
Nope, Kiki Palmer. I missed it last time because we didn't really talk about it. Yes, we did, actually. We talked about it a little bit. But this time, she's still responding. Now, you have to remember, Kiki Palmer, what is she, 18, 19? She just turned 19 or something? She's young. So she's
young.
Yeah, so she's going to respond to social media. Now, she said, no, she is. You know what I mean? Because that you kind of take that stuff to heart. She's young. So I can't say she should walk away from this. But anyway, she says, every now and then I think people think that celebrities are some crazy human beings, but that's just the nature of what we do. Okay, I've become popular. She said, but I'm not some different type of being, and, you know, I have feelings. And it would be the same as if you said I can't work at Chase because you don't like bankers. She said, so I always have to let people know and put it in perspective that I got this job, she got the acting job, because of her acting abilities. It's about being an actress. She said, it's not about looking like the person, it's about being that person. And she says, I mean, I can understand if I was doing Bette Midler, I don't look anything like her, but at least I'm the same race as Chili, which is kind of funny to me. But anyway, so that was Kiki Palmer's response to that. She's saying, listen, back up off me. I got hired to do a job, and you guys are criticizing me for playing a part that I was hired to do. Now, if you don't know, Chili is one of the executive producers. Kiki.
She in casting?
She's an executive producer on it, and so she helped pick the people who were portraying them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Kiki Palmer exhibited some tremendous wisdom in that response.
She sure did.
You know, for her age, I think, that was a very wise response that she gave. I like that. It's not about looking like her. It's about being her. I appreciate that. Even though we would have something, just like you said, Bette Midler, we would have something to say for sure if it was an actress selected to play the role.
Okay. Now, when actress Zoe Saldana responded to her critics, she said about Nina Simone. She said, Simone was a dark-skinned woman with broad features who championed embracing African-American features. She has a Puerto Rican and Dominican heritage. But Saldana replied, I guess what keeps me from being hurt by the negative comments was that I'm doing it for my sisters and brothers, and I don't care who tells me I am this or I'm that. She says, I know who I am. I know what Nina Simone means to me. I did it all out of love for my people and my pride of being a black woman and a Latino woman and an American woman, and that's my truth. So she even handled it a little bit differently later, because people are criticizing actresses for not looking exactly like the person who they're portraying. They're actresses.
It amazes me how people want to take money out of other folks' pocket, but they're not prepared to put anything in it. So
right.
I'm an actress, and you want me not to take a job that pays me money to pay my bills? Get out of my face.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the thing, okay, but let me just qualify a little bit, at least, from what I understand, why Zoe Saldana was criticized about taking the role of Nina Simone, partially. It had a lot to do with her statement about not being black. And so people took, you know, they just took a hiccup on that and said, well, wait a minute. If she doesn't want to identify with black folks, now that she's going to take this role that's going to put money in her pocket, all of a sudden she's talking about her brothers and her sisters and being a black woman, and it's like, well, which one is it? So that had something to do with the criticism that she received.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's Puerto Rican and Dominican, and so I think island people, and this is just my perspective, I think a lot of them have a problem with identifying with race when you have a lot of your family in both races. So I'm not sure the context in which he said that, but I can see her point, right? She did not say, I'm not black and I don't want to play a black woman. So if she actually went that far, then I would have an issue. I think her claim was that she's international, and under whatever context that she would like to put it under, I guess that would be the issue. But for me,
yeah, I get you. I understand. But I'm just saying, she wasn't being asked anything about playing a black woman. She was just being asked about her nationality. So the point is that, okay, if she wants to play a black woman now, cool. Go ahead and play a black woman, but now don't come back and try to say you're black. You know what I mean? It's just like, come on. We're not that.
She said she wasn't just black. We need to throw a flag on the commission.
We're not that brief. Don't play us that close, you know?
All right.
You said it. I know I said it. I'm sorry. There is
no apology needed. She is like,
that's
I it. Said it.
Yeah, that's it. Just say you said it. You know, so you're not trying to act like we think we're crazy or everybody thinks black folks are sweet and we just going to suck up any old thing you want to feed us. No. You said it. We heard you. Now, just
step up
and then
hold up.
Wait, Daniel, she's going on Wayne Brady on us. Go ahead, Daniel.
No, I'm just saying, I'm agree with her. She's like, hold up. Wait a minute. Weren't you the one had said that you ain't.
Exactly.
Well, now you black. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's kind of like Terrence Howard saying that, right? He was saying, I don't really like dark skinned black women. Now he's like, you know, then he started all that. But. Here's some internet comics.
Let me add this real quick before you go on.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you all remember the firestorm when Jennifer Lopez wanted to play, was the character?
Selena, yes.
Because Jennifer Lopez is from Puerto Rico. They didn't like her playing a Mexican. Star. So just want to insert that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You were saying about the internet comment.
As you try to move away from race always plays a difference in our consciousness. Now, I won't go into my news story this week about Hugo Chavez, but you can check out EspriNet News on Espri Radio if you like. Our last segment kind of talked about how different parts of the world, they really do have race issues. So you have to kind of consider that. Now, the internet comments.
Man.
Yeah, the internet comments before I move on to the internet comments, I was just bringing up Chavez because when black people during Katrina was on the news and all this other stuff, it was Chavez along with Castro that wanted to send over doctors, and he lowered the price on their U.S.
What?
Subsidiary. Yes, their U.S. subsidiary for Venezuela is Citgo, is the gas company Citgo. And so he lowered the gas prices just for the people in New Orleans, and they gave money. So
nobody ever talks about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I remember when it happened. I remember France came on, and they said if George Bush is not moving, France wanted to send like something like 15,000 tents. Castro wanted to send about 1,500 doctors and medical staff to New Orleans. Venezuela said that they sent money and they wanted to lower all their natural gas prices and gas stations and stuff that they had in New Orleans. And the U.S. was still sitting on their hands saying, well, we still need to assess the damage, while all these other international companies countries were kicking in saying, we will come in and help. And the United States would not let them in. In 5 years, everybody will talk about how great George Bush is on the Republican side. But you know what? We like to clear up facts on the show. Now, the internet comments, it's hard to go back to the story, isn't it, from that? So the internet story on Kiki Palmer, here's some of the internet comments.
George is a knucklehead. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
Oh, George, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll blast them on another day. Kiki Palmer's internet comments. Someone said Kiki's a good actress. We need to chill out. And she isn't a stretch look-wise either, and they're tripping. Another one said Kiki should just ignore the critics at this point and focus on doing an amazing job that will silence the critics. And another says Chili is an executive producer on this, so she picked her. This is a fact, you idiot, comment said. And another one said, I agree that this is an unfortunate result of social media and the internet. Every idiot can express an opinion and even have it heard. I don't think any actor should have to justify their hiring. Their job involves being chameleons. All an actor owes to the public is a great performance. I don't even think they owe them that.
Well said. Very well said.
Yeah, and that is it on that. You know, before we start to close out on that, well, first of all, I'm not sure what a black-on-black crime is on that. But I think it's really sad.
I was just curious.
Yes,
because black on black crime is the criticism of Kiki Palmer playing the role, which I still haven't heard why she shouldn't play it. What was the criticism of that?
Well, the early
what did she say on her tweet?
Well,
huh?
What happened
on her tweet?
She was responding to. We kind of covered it on another show, but she responded to people saying they didn't think that she looked enough like Chili. And wasn't sure that she'll be able to do a good job. And so she started getting a lot of hits on her social media saying they should have picked somebody else and then naming other people who should have been on there instead of Kiki. And so, again.
Well, nothing that Mike Weed couldn't fix.
Right. Well, she has long hair. She looks like her. I mean,
black on black crime.
That is
flag
a black on
black. Down.
Oh.
What?
Flag.
On Daniel?
Yes.
On me? Well, who?
Who said that she nothing that a nice weed won't fix?
Jerome.
Flag.
You know that doesn't sound like me. I don't really go there with black women hair. That's not what I do.
I don't even believe. Yes, that's a flag, sir.
Daniel, it's not like Kathleen did not talk about black women hair before, but she just didn't do it on this show. So she's throwing a flag.
Okay.
Okay, fine.
A big old flag.
Now, in our world of entertainment, we're going to move to that. We're not going to do the preview of the Will Smith movie, but I just want to say this. Kevin Hart has another movie coming out. It's called Let Me Explain. It's a stand-up. It's going to be released by Lionsgate this summer, 4th of July. Let Me Explain will make its world premiere at the closing night of the film festival, the American Black Film Festival, on June 22nd. The film is executive produced by Kevin Hart and his Heartbeat Productions. It includes, like, his 2012 10-country concert, which he traveled to 80 cities, generated over $32 million in ticket sales. Kevin Hart is just killing them this year.
Man, he's getting taller and taller, boy.
Isn't he? He really is getting taller. His last release, Kevin Hart's stand-up, was Laugh at My Pain, and that grossed $7.7 million in the U.S. at the box office alone. When we talked about Kevin Hart earlier with the Real Husbands of Hollywood, they've been renewed, by the way. More than 4 million viewers tune in to the series premiere.
Great show, man. Great show.
His second season is being picked up with 12 episodes of Order, and it's labeled the fakest reality show ever. Now, it stars Kevin Hart, Nick Cannon, the husband of music superstar Mariah Carey, Boris Kojo, the husband of actress Nicole Aries Parker. They're all probably going to be on the show at some point. Dwayne Martin, husband of actress Tisha Campbell, and J.B. Smoove, the husband of songstress Shadeah Omar. And Robin Thicke, of course, the husband of actress Paula Patton. Okay, now that's the real
Yo, girl.
Husbands of Hollywood. But check this out. Now, although that's a superstar lineup, check out the superstar lineup of production. The executive producer is Kevin Hart, right? Think Like a Man, Laugh at My Pain. Stan Latham from Martin and Moesha and Steve Harvey Show. And Stan Latham, Death Comedy Jam, he is executive producer. Ralph Farquhar from Married with Children. I know a lot of people didn't know the executive producer of Married with Children was a black man. It's Ralph Farquhar.
Get out of here.
Yes, he did that. He did the Parkers. He did a lot of stuff. Now, these are all the people who are the production team of this show. Jesse Collins does the BET Awards and the 54th Annual Grammy Awards. He's one of the producers. Tim Gibbons from Curb Your Enthusiasm is on there. And Betty White's Off Their Rockers, he produces those. Chris Spencer, 2012 MTV Awards and Def Comedy Jam. Chris Spencer had the TV show that was against Arsenio at some point. He replaced Magic. And David Becky from Everybody Hates Chris. Like, that is an all-star production team, let alone the people on screen. They have people who know funny. That show was destined to be great just with all of those people working on it. So, hey, I was wondering why even the backgrounds look so real, you know, when they set up the fake boxing match and all of that. They have a great production team over there, so congratulations to them. Now, I'm going to say it in order. Jaden and Will Smith has a movie coming out. Its release is June 7th. It's a summer release of After Earth, and it's a movie about that's 1,000 years after a cataclysmic event forces humans to escape Earth, and he comes back with his 13-year-old son just kind of as an extended tour duty. The aircraft crash, and there the adventure begins. I'll play a clip of it in a preview on next week's show, but it's called After Earth. It's coming out on June 7th for Will and Jada Smith. Now, before we get out of here, last week we talked about the top 10 white shows that should be black. So I didn't want to miss the chance to talk about the top 10 white shows that should be black. Do you remember that, Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let me go, because from the emails that we got, and so some of the shows that should be black, I kind of did a synopsis of the show. Someone sent in One Day at a Time, you know, the show with a single mother and two daughters, and the maintenance man was played by Snyder.
Yeah, she just passed away, as a matter of fact, Bonnie Franklin.
Yeah, Bonnie Franklin just passed away. But the black version should star Tracy Morgan as Hustle Man. Hustle Man should be their maintenance man. It'll get canceled, but I'm just saying. That would be a funny show.
Well, Bookman, kind of a Bookman character.
No, he can't be Bookman, because we had Bookman. So Bookman is kind
but
of...
But I mean, Bookman character, you know, the maintenance man comes and goes.
Well, that's how Snyder was, but Hustle Man is more of a character that's going to bring you something. Like, he's going to knock on Bonnie Franklin. Every time she needs something, she's a single mother. So Hustle Man is going to come in like, I got some steaks. Like, it'll just be funny.
I got three TVs.
Exactly.
Come
on, Chief. Yeah, let me look at yeah. So, oh, I forgot, Kathleen, this whole segment is a black-on-black crime, by the way.
You know,
I just wanted to tell you. It was just something that I found funny. Now, the next one was Laverne and Shirley. And only people I can think of is Queen Latifah and Shirley Caesar. But that would be canceled, and that's a black-on-black crime, so I can't really go there. The next one is Dennis the Menace, starring John Witherspoon. Here's Dennis the Menace. Oh, Mr. Wilson, John Witherspoon. Oh, hell no, and that show is canceled. As soon as John Witherspoon opens his mouth, Dennis the Menace will be canceled. But I think
Dennis the Menace should be that little brother. He's a little young guy. To me, he should be in a movie with Kevin Hart, because they have the similar personalities.
Uh-huh.
I do not know his name. Little black kid, little guy, big personality. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
He now plays the son on Tyler Perry's latest series, for better or worse. He plays...
I think so.
He was in Tracy Morgan's show when Tracy Morgan had a show.
That little kid was sweet.
Oh, yeah, he would be a menace.
I could see him and Kevin Hart going toe-to-toe.
They're both too little.
If somebody's in the airwaves and they hear that, man, I want my credit.
Here's the next one. The show Alice. Remember that? You know, the first scene to go like this, Mel Diner.
Mel and Flo.
Yeah, so Mel will say, you broads need to get to work. And Flo would say, Mel, kiss my, and they'd be canceled.
Yeah.
Because the black Flo wouldn't really say it that way.
Right.
So that would be a little bit different. But Alice having a diner show. I don't think there's ever been a black show that had, you know. Well, unless you want to count the weigh-in show, they had Pop's Diner. But anyway.
Winky Dinky Dog. I was thinking about that.
Oh,
movie.
Gosh, that's the movie with Keenan. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
If you get a chance to see this, the Wayans family was on Oprah last night.
I saw the tail end of it.
Oh, my gosh, that was hilarious. It's the Wayans brothers or the Wayans family and second generation Wayans on Oprah. She interviewed the whole family last night. It was a really good show. Now,
Damon Jr. is funny as all get out.
Now, you know what's funny about Damon Jr. is when they talked about, you know, first generation Wayans, those guys that showed us on, or second generation Wayans, those guys who were on BET, Damon Wayans Jr. is on, Happy Endings. Damon Wayans Jr. is on Happy Endings on ABC. So when they talked about, Oprah asked them about them being rich and growing up rich. And so the two kids that are on the BET show said, we still lived in the projects because they're the older siblings' kids, right?
Uh-huh.
And Damon Wayans Jr. said, well, I mean, I'm a little bit different because private school, we called our teachers by their first names. They fell out. He laughs about that. But if you remember, Damon Wayans talked about that in his stand-up, saying that his son can't relate to his cousins because he doesn't live in the same space. But it's funny. You got to check it out. So our next top white show that should be black is I Dream of Jeannie. Now, if you have
that
a black major,
she'd be in a party bottle.
Oh, you're wrong for that. Now that's a black on black crime. But I say, there you go. But I say,
Jeannie.
I think this Jeannie would be a little meaner. They don't really play that.
Send them straight to the crack house.
Oh, black on black crime. Kathleen, get on your job. He's wrong for that. I think I would watch this one. Fear Factor, a black version. Now, here's Fear Factor.
Oh, Lord.
No, check this out. Here's Fear Factor. Now, there are four contestants, and I'm your host. So here we go. Be very quiet. Here's a group of guys. I need you to get within 5 feet of them and just yell, what's up with you? That show will be canceled because some dude's going to probably beat you down if you roll up on a group of people and just yell at them. Now, that's a Fear Factor.
You don't do that.
That is Fear Factor.
They'll swing first and ask questions later.
They sure will. It wouldn't be that long. The show wouldn't be that long. Now, we have Gossip Girls. Now, Gossip Girls would be canceled just because they'd say, they said what? On Everything I Love, and that show will be canceled. Like, that's how the first episode would go. Because you can't really gossip about people without them taking it serious. People don't really just gossip and walk away. They spin out of control if there was black characters. Now, the favorite, one of my favorite, would be Nanny 911 or Super Nanny.
Oh, a black kid? Oh,
no. A black nanny. We don't care about the kids. They could be black or white.
Okay.
Now, if you see a black nanny come in and say, if you don't get your boop, now I think that show would be canceled pretty quick. I'm just saying, that might work.
They would cancel that in the tapings.
They wouldn't even let them put that on air. That
was
just kind of good.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be off with ACS or whatever the Child Services Agency was in that state.
Gosh. Man, yeah, that one would be crazy. So the black super nanny or nanny 911, 911.
That's a good show, though, Jerome. We might need to talk about that off air.
No, I've seen that show. That's a good show. I'm just saying.
I mean the black nanny.
You thinking about Fran Drescher, that nanny?
Well,
no.
I would be
hey,
that nanny.
Hey. You could do what you could do.
His friend was not playing with the wardrobe. What?
All right, wait a minute. Wait a minute. So here's my number one.
They got it. They got to do. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Dan.
Got to do wife swap.
Oh, see, a black wife swap. Well, yeah, we don't have to talk about that one next week. Now, here's
he tried to pimp out my wife, man. What's up with that?
Film that one in jail.
Well, behind bars. In my Kevin Hart voice, Paula Patton. Anyway, so here's number one. It will be a black Star Trek. Now, that means your horror would be white, of course, right? The power play between Spock and McCoy would be, or Spock and Dr. And Captain Kirk would be crazy. But Dr. McCoy would have more than one nurse. So that would just be a problem. I'm just saying, Black Star Trek. Can you imagine?
Whoa.
They would call down to Scotty, because you know how engineering is, right? It's kind of in the basement. You call down, and Scotty's listening to Al Green. That would be the dope stuff.
Somebody.
Oh, see? I didn't mean to start that. Yeah. See, I started to play some Al Green just to give you the effect of Black Star Trek. But... All right, so I want to thank you for joining in. This is Black on Black Crime. You know, tried to loosen it up at the end because we was about to go off the rails.
Leroy, I'm a doctor.
Well, no. You can check us out again next week. Same channel, same time. Hey, next Monday. See you guys next week. For Kathleen and Daniel, peace.
Peace.
All right, see you next week.